Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We are back. Normally, I do a little bit of an intro to the show, and then we go into the interviews. This week, we are going directly right into the interview. We've got Frater O on the show. This will be episode 233. I hope you guys checked out the previous episode, 232, about Albert Pike. We'll be continuing that series next week. And then the week after that, we'll be back with Frater O. The week after that, we'll probably take a break from the Albert Pike series, and we're going to go into having an episode about Australian Masonry. Brother Wayne Greenlee got his third degree, and we also have another brother from Australia calling in, and that we'll have a good time. So right now, we're already talking with Frater O, so welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back.
You and I have been fans of this gem of a film. If we did announce it on the Frater O Facebook page. It's called Donald Duck in Math Magic Land. And it was produced in 1959. And to give a brief synopsis, the Grand Lodge, British Columbia, on their website, they've got probably one of the best damn websites for Freemasonry out there, but they just have a small entry. It says, Donald Duck in Math Magic Land, 1959. In one of the clearest explanations of the golden ratio and its real-world application and occurrences, this animated short film presents the pentagram stripped of its spiritualist and mystical accretions and revealed as a simple symbol for a mathematical sequence. Directed by post-war baby boomer generation of junior high school students in an attempt to kindle an interest in mathematics. Emphasis is placed on pop music and the secret society of Pythagoreans and their recognition sign, the pentagram. So Math Magic Land, really kind of a gem. I didn't even know about it until Frater O sent me a link one day. He's like, dude, you gotta watch this. And I was like, what? And I watched it, and I love it so much. I show it to my kids. My kids dig it, and it's probably one of the coolest damn things you can watch that, as a Freemason, I think you get a really cool grasp of what we were learning. I mean, look, I wasn't in high school that long ago. I'm 34 years old, so we're talking 14, 16 years ago, I was a senior in high school. And, you know, I don't recall learning any of this. I mean, we did learn it in a sense, but it wasn't presented in this way. I'll kind of get into why it's presented and why I think this cartoon was successful a little later. But Frater O, how did you come upon this and how did you feel about it when you first saw it?
Well, first, to anyone that's listening to the show and has yet to watch it, pause it. Go watch it. It's only 27 minutes. It's actually a really cool, fun animation film. And actually, to go off what you said, it was actually nominated for an Academy Award back in 1961.
Wow.
So it had a lot of weight. And it was shown in a lot of classrooms in the 60s. So go watch it and then, you know, pick back up from here. Okay, now that you have listened to it or you've seen it, I found it in my search of like mathematics. So you go through the degree system and you're like, okay, there's a lot going on here, Pythagoras. And so I was researching the Pythagoreans in my studies and like how the influences they had on the craft. And because it's riddled with a lot of those characters that came from the Pythagoreans, they're mentioned in a few different degrees. So you just kind of have to scratch your head and be like, okay, well, we know Masonry is a melting pot, but it seems like a lot of it kind of gets back to the Pythagoreans. And if you look at the foundations of math and geometry, and that's all presented in all three degrees as well, it kind of goes hand in hand. What did you take away from the video?
You know, looking at it beforehand, I was familiar with interesting number sequences like Fibonacci numbers and the like. If you guys don't know what Fibonacci numbers are, we're talking about numbers that repeat themselves within nature. And this short 27-minute cartoon teaches you more about mathematics in, like I said, this 27 minutes than I think most people can pick up if you were to study just the core elements of what they're showing you in that 27 minutes over the course of a semester. It prompted me to do further research into the field of mathematics. I've always been huge into mathematics. I was miserable at it, actually. Like most people who love math, there is this weird kind of thing that happens where, you know, maybe you hit 15, 16 years old, and then all of a sudden something clicks. And it took me, I was 14 or 15 years old. I used to call my grandfather on the phone, and I would ask him, "Grandpa, how do I do this problem or do this problem?" And he would walk me through my homework over the phone. He was in California, I was here in Chicago, and you know, he used to teach mathematics, and before that, he was an electrical engineer in the Navy, and he was so into technology, and so into, he still is. He's the only grandfather I know who's, he friggin' has electronic stuff before I did. I mean, he bought the computer that had 16 gigabytes of memory back in 1994. It was huge. He would sit there and scan books through his scanner and have books and send me PDFs of things. He would explain everything. And it wasn't until he told me two things. You know, growing up, I grew up watching Star Trek The Next Generation with him. We'd sit around and watch that every time it was on. And we kind of would talk about stuff, and he would say, you know, I didn't have a dad growing up. So, you know, these guys were my influencers, my strong male influences. And my grandfather said, mathematics, like if we ever meet aliens, math is going to be the only thing we have in common. It's going to be the only language we have that'll know we can communicate with them. And I thought, wow, you know, here I am. I'm this 14-year-old dreamer of one day, maybe SETI works and we make contact. And I think as a believer in mathematics, like I'm a huge believer in the Drake equation where we have 50,000 possible civilizations that have been at least up to radio communication technology within our own galaxy. And I think that the probability we run across them, who knows? But mathematics is so important. And at a point, my math just clicked and I understood it. My grandfather always told me, you know, a weakness in mathematics in any particular part of it, it's not that you're dumb or you can't get it. It's because you literally missed an opportunity to ask a question before. So every weakness in math comes from an inability to grasp a previous concept. You just missed a little something. You got to go back and find out what it was, and that's the hard part. Sometimes it's a needle in a haystack. And Donald Duck in Math Magic Land kind of made me remember why I loved mathematics. Math has such an interesting way of presenting things that are incomprehensible. There's a scene in Math Magic Land, actually, where it's toward the end of it, and Donald Duck is sitting there. They've gone through some games they've played, and the spirit is the narrator, and the spirit is telling Donald these things. He says, there's a geographic field or a geometric field in which this game is played, and Lewis Carroll wrote a book about it, and that's where he started his book, Alice in Wonderland, or Through the Looking Glass. And he moves on to showing Donald Duck pool and teaching him the diamond system, which, come on, man, the diamond system? If you watch this cartoon, you guys will be able to hustle people's asses off at pool. I'm not even kidding. You'll be like an expert in pool like that. He talks about the most interesting game, and while he's talking about it, he says, first we have to go into your mind and we have to clear things up. You just see it, and there's like all these file cabinets that are just bungled up, and the names in these file cabinets are things like antiquated ideas, false concepts, superstitions, and he makes reference to having to clean all these things out in order to make sense of these mathematical concepts. And it's only once we have this clean mind that we can even conceive of the idea of infinity. We can conceive it. We can't actually grasp it, but we can conceive it as a human mind. So if you can conceive infinity, and we know there are several philosophers, you know, there was a famous kind of experiment we did in fifth grade where we were given a piece of clay and we had to cut it in half and then cut the half in half and cut the half in half and the half in half and so on and so forth. And my teacher asked us a question. She said, can you just keep doing this forever? Or do you reach a point where you can't? Well, mathematics says we can always continue to keep going. And if that's the case, then to me, if you guys think about just mathematics in general, the difference between the number 1 and the number 2 has an infinite number of decimals in between. So to me, it's this miracle that we can even conceive of concepts of like 1 and 2 because we're missing an infinite amount of numbers in between. So the mind is so amazing this way. I remember watching amazing documentaries about these mathematicians who eventually committed suicide. They got to a point where they either A, couldn't understand the rest of the mathematics, or they felt they understood mathematics and found no reason further to live. It was rather depressing. You know, Galileo said mathematics is the alphabet wherewith God has written the universe. And that's the quote they end Math Magic Land on. It's just an inspirational mathematical cartoon. It's entertaining, it's funny, it's silly, but it presents huge, powerful ideas. Long tangent and went out there, but I had to.
That's good. I'm glad we jumped in the deep end off the bat.
I'm looking at the credits when this thing starts, and I see these names, Milt Banta, Bill Berg, and then one of them kind of stood out. Dr. Heinz Haber. And I was like, Dr. Heinz Haber, where do I know that name from? And then it dawned on me, he actually co-hosted, anybody who's a total science nerd probably knows, he co-hosted Man in Space, which was produced by Disney, and the host was Wernher von Braun, the man who invented the Saturn V rocket, which we still haven't made better. And these guys were working for World War II Nazi Germany. In fact, the guy who directed Math Magic Land, or was a part of the writing, Heinz Haber, he was in the Luftwaffe. He was an aviator, and he came over with Project Paperclip. And then he's also one of the people who invented parabolic flight, so they could train for like zero G, and eventually became the chief scientific advisor for Walt Disney even. What's kind of interesting about the cartoon is it presents this in easy ways to understand it. That's, I guess, what was one of Dr. Heinz Haber's big things, was that he was able to present intense concepts and break it down for laymen like me.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, you know, intro into sacred geometry. Were people that, you know, went through the degree system and they're like, well, it's just way over my head. I don't know where to start. This video alone is just a wonderful foundation in, you know, for sacred geometry, which is kind of the foundation of knowledge for any metaphysical or esoteric school, regardless from, you know, the Illuminati to the Rosicrucians to the Martinists to the Sufis to, you know, pick your sect. You know, you can find it, as well as like the Book of Enoch or the Emerald Tablets of Hermes or ancient alchemical texts. It's pretty much consistent. And so these orders had to be so secret is because during these time periods up until about the 17th century, if you talked about any mathematics or anything about questioning the, you know, the movement of the earth or the stars or actually anything that is referred to as science now, you were prosecuted usually by some sort of religious order that was controlling that area. Most of the time, it didn't really end too well for the individual that was into these fringe at the time topics. People talk about those secret societies and, you know, Pythagoras, and of course they had to meet in secret, otherwise they would be burned at the stake. And it's so, getting back to like the pentagram, it's a very, very sacred, very, very esoteric symbol, but unfortunately has been just completely, just been bashed by religion after religion. And there's been so much dogma over the ages that has just completely destroyed it. And especially it's over recent years, over the past like 30 or 40 years, in particular. Like this case in point, this video came out in the 50s, and you can see people online posting things and being like, oh, it's Illuminati mind control, it's propaganda. It's like, hey man, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's all the same stuff. You know, if you look at like the phi ratio or the golden ratio, it's taught in masonry, and it's in Masonic architecture consistently. It's interesting that, you know, Donald Duck ends up in one of the kind of the chapters he goes through is that the spirit shows Donald the golden rectangle and the pentagram and how they're both related to the human body and nature. It talks about ideal proportions and how, of course, Donald, like a typical egotistical person, tries to overinterpret what the spirit or whatever the voice is telling him and tries to fit his own body into the proper proportions, but his efforts really fail. He's shown after that many times, like flowers, animals, starfish, shells. They show this mathematical formula, even in, you know, architecture. They show one
cathedral at Notre Dame.
Yes, yes.
Man, they do this layover of the golden rectangle over Notre Dame. It's amazing.
So even, you know, if you get into architecture, cathedrals, mainly pertaining to Gothic cathedrals, we've mentioned this in the past, you know, the Sons of Solomon building these Gothic cathedrals and building in these sacred solar and lunar alignments into the architecture, as well as building in allegories into the actual physical bodies, as well as representation of astrological alignments as well. Also correspond exactly with the human body. They go hand in hand. That's why, you know, people love to read their horoscope, because it definitely plays back and forth. Well, it was interesting too, when he goes off the human body, he goes directly into games, which I found really fascinating. And one of the things he really touched on first was the idea of chess, the black and white chessboard, which is taught about in most lodges in the first degree, and how important the staying on one square or the other, or back and forth, and just the polarity aspects of life. And then he gets into all the other sports. Baseball, I found interesting because that's, if you do some research, that was created by a Mason. There's some interesting old texts that you can find of like the diamond shape actually being all the working tools. Have you ever seen that online?
I don't think I have. I'll have to look it up. We'll have to put a link to it in the show notes. Also in the show notes, we will definitely put a link to the Donald Duck Math Magic Land. We'll just put the link there and you guys can rock and roll and watch it. 27 minutes. Watch it on your lunch break. I mean, it's definitely worth it. And your kids will love it too. It's not so deep that they won't understand it.
It's rad. It's so cool. I mean, to be able to sit down and just have it simply explained to you in a fun and unique setting like that. Because math, let's face it, can get pretty boring. And if you're around someone who's super intelligent and who's has a specialty or background or career in this, it's just like a 747 over your head.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, they go into the gold. Everything's golden, man. They've got the golden rectangle, the golden ratio, the golden proportions, the golden section, which is basically how they show that this golden rectangle consistently can just basically cut itself a certain way and then continually replicate this into infinity.
I have Mackey's lexicon here, encyclopedia. And he says that the pentagram of Solomon has been said and is the constitutional seal or signet of our ancient grand master and has been inscribed on the foundation stone of masonry.
So that's interesting. I mean, if you guys are familiar with the foundation stone, it is in itself, supposedly depictions of it are this golden ratio cube, more of like a rectangle. That foundation stone is supposed to be the stone of which all creation has been built up around. It in itself represents the golden ratio, and from this, everything else in the world has this golden ratio in nature, which the pentagram is essentially coded version of the golden ratio. As you dismantle the pieces and roll it out, each section, like if you had four sections, section 4 and 3 equal section 2, section 3 and 2 equal section 1, and so on and so forth. It's a brilliant way they broke this out, and again, that's all thanks to Dr. Heinz Haber, who won many awards for basically breaking these things down into layman level ideas and concepts. What's interesting is the idea of the foundation stone, you know, and they have in this golden ratio. There's a church in England, I think. I shouldn't say England. It's in the UK, and there's this block, and it's on a throne, and it has everything to do with, they claim that it's the stone Jacob slept on in the story of Jacob's ladder, and they call it the creation stone. And then, of course, in Scottish Rite degrees, the Alu degrees, as well as some of the Holy Royal Arch system, York Rite degrees, Cryptic Council, those kind of things, they talk about this stone. In fact, one of the interesting degrees within the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction is a story about two guys. You know, they're rebuilding this temple, and they dive down into the well, and they find the foundation stone, and they come up with the plate that's got the tetragrammaton on it, and this light fills the room and shoots out of the foundation stone, and causes the entire thing to collapse, and the word is lost once again. It's intense, right? But this creation stone is this golden ratio, or depicted anyways, this golden ratio, kind of golden rectangle. The other golden rectangle, Ark of the Covenant, also is using the golden ratios in its creation. So if you break out the mathematics, the cubits and whatnot, depicted within the Holy Scriptures of the, well, pick your version of the Bible, St. James, whatever version. If you lay it all out, it is the golden ratio, just, you know, nugget of information for you. Guess.
You mentioned a lot on the symbolism of masonry and the pentagram. You know, it's also interesting to note too that the altar for the Rosicrucians inside of masonry, the SRICF, is a pentagram as well.
Interesting.
Really, 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 really fascinating. And you know, the whole idea behind like the where you know the Greeks got the name is from penta, meaning five, and gramma, meaning letter. It's one of the most really influential symbols inside of esotericism. And now if you look at the pentagram representing a human body, there's five points, right? So we have two arms, two legs, and a head. shocking correlations between the two, between the pentagram and human body.
So if you guys go to, there's a website we'll have a link to. It's called the symboldictionary.net, a visual glossary. Click on the pentagram. It says the pentagram in depth. So the five-pointed stars on this thing, and then on top of it, like you just said, is a human body with both arms, legs, and the head. They go ahead and they explain it. They bring it down to the pentacle and magic with a CK, so Renaissance-era ritual magicians. They go into Christian pentagrams, represented. They go into the pentacle in Wicca and neo-pagan traditions. They talk about point up or point down. They talk about the satanic pentagram as well, which basically in modern satanic theology, the pentagram is far more likely to represent the individual or individual choice. So there's all kinds of symbolism in all areas of it. Of course, there's the goat head stuff. There's the pentagram in Freemasonry, which is referred to as the blazing star. In addition to more traditional Pythagorean symbolism, sometimes they allude it to Christ into the world of matter. It can tie into Christian Kabbalah. They talk about the pentagram of the founders, right? The road maps, I'm sorry, in Washington, D.C., I should say, and how there's, you know, pentagrams laid out in Washington, D.C.
You know, it could be, you know, I think Pike writes extensively on it and the similarities of the Blazing Star Masonic Lodges representing, I believe he was quoted, don't hold me to it, I'm going off the top of my head, in regards to representing like Sirius, Anubis, and Mercury, and the guardian of the souls is what he gets into. And like if you get into a lot of ancient texts from the 1700s, they refer to as the pentagram as more as like the sun, the blazing star of glory, the grand illuminary. It also represents could be the worshipful master. It enlightens the earth, and at certain times, when during certain periods around solar alignments, with usually around solstices, the sun happens to hit the northeast corner first, which is kind of significant. I'm sure a lot of brothers will catch up on that. But it also can be, you know, outside of Masonry, where Manly P. Hall gets onto this, but he gets into, like, again, which I mentioned briefly earlier, is the microcosm of man, which were the symbol of microcosm, which there's a universe inside of you, and that there's the same symbolism that's inside the human body, the same ratio of what makes up your body of the golden rectangle can also be found inside of you, inside of cells and so forth, and cells inside of cells and so forth and so on, as well as even into atoms. Digressing back, there's some really beautiful Rosicrucian degrees that really focus on the blazing star, which is awesome. Pike writes a little bit on the 28th degree of the southern jurisdiction of ancient and Scottish right, with the, you know, the Knight of the Sun or the Prince Adept. It is the lecture, if you read Morals and Dogma, it gets into the actual breakdown of the pentagram. The Kabbalist term, the pentagram, meaning like the power of commanding spirits and elements. And if you look at the human body as elements, and you look at each area of the body or each area of each point of the star, it can represent earth, air, fire, or water. And then, of course, the fifth element we've talked briefly about in previous shows.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. One of the interesting things that a lot of people, well, they may not know, but, you know, we've kind of touched on how the pentagram gets a bad rap. The pentagram in itself, I guess, if you do some research on it, it actually was never used in any kind of satanic way until 1900, where a Satanist actually inverted it, did it upside down. So prior to that, it has nothing. In fact, it was used to ward off evil spirits as a symbol. Far more good than bad associated with it. If you guys watch the Math Magic Land, there's a scene, you know, you kind of see they had the pentagram, the star, on their hand. Story goes, you know, that they would draw it with chalk, and then they would show their hand before they would go in to prove they were members. And then, of course, leaving, wipe it off. Because nobody could know. Nobody could know that you're a member. Preventing witch hunts, as it were. So there it is. We kind of laid out Math Magic Land. If you guys want to check it out, really recommend you do. It has a tremendous amount of information in the 27 minutes. You'll be entertained. You'll laugh. Your kids will like it. It's quote-unquote Masonic education for the whole family. But really, it's just part of that liberal arts and sciences that we all said we would check out as part of our part of what we owe to being a fellow craft as we went through that degree, and we know that we never stop learning. So please do check it out. We'll put a link up for that I'll have a couple of the links up there for you guys to check out. And just stoked that I got to do this episode with Fratter O, because to talk about it with the guy who turned me on to it is really cool.
Well, thanks again for having me back. And I know a lot of brothers will really, really appreciate this episode, or even if they have not been turned on to Magic Land. It's just a great refresher and simple mathematics in a fun form. So hopefully that was able to kind of peel back a lot of dogma for a lot of people on just the what's been created over the past century.
Definitely, definitely. So once again, thank you for coming on the show, bro. And I'll probably talk to you probably sometime this week.
All right, brother. Travel light.
All right, again, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Fratero and I had a great time. And again, please check out the show notes to get a link to Donald Duck in Math Magic Land. I didn't get to mention them at the top of the show, but this show is brought to you by Brothers Blend Coffee. So if you go to brothersblendcoffee.com, pick yourself up some coffee, some really good coffee, actually. Comes in three strengths, which is Tyler's Cup, Adoniram's Brew, and Harmony Roast. All three are really good. My favorite is Adoniram's Brew. Not only does it sound cool, it's pretty tasty coffee as well. So those retail for right around $12 or $13 shipped to you per 12-ounce container. They do have something in the works, which is pretty cool, but I can't talk about it yet. I should also mention that if you are going to be at Masonic Con, which is going to be up there in Boston, Rhode Island area, Brothers Blend Coffee is going to be there. They'll be one of the vendors. I believe there's something like 150 vendors going to be at Masonic Con. So if you have a chance, check it out. You know, there was a dude who had a really cool show on history, Scott Walter, who talked about Knight Templars, the Hooked X, the Vikings making it to the United States before anybody else, before Amerigo Vespucci, before Columbus. And he was a really cool dude, and the show was really neat. Sometimes it was a little far-reaching for me. However, his show was really kind of cool. He is now a brother, so it's kind of cool. And he's one of the presenters that's going to be at the Masonic Con. Greg Kaminsky from the Occult of Personality podcast is going to be a speaker there as well. And it should be a really cool event. To me, it's basically the AMD week that everybody can go to. It's the Masonic week for everybody else, which means we've got speakers, they're going to have vendors, and it should be really cool, really fun. It's one day, it's a Saturday. It goes from 9 a.m. to like 6 or 7, I believe. And it's going to be really cool. I'll put links up to the Masonic Con Facebook page, and you can check out all the really neat things that are going on there, and I hope you guys make it down there. I was going to try to make it, but I can't. I have a master's dinner for the district, and I need to represent the first Northeast district, state of Illinois, and that puts me in a precarious spot. I can't exactly make it that evening, and then I'm gonna have to fly overnight, and it's a big mess. I wouldn't get there till halfway it was over. It sure still would be worth it, but I really have completion issues, so I need to make sure I'm there from the beginning. So not going to happen this year. I hope they continue this and do it again next year, because I really do want to go. We're going to cut it short this week. No famous Freemason. I do apologize. We're not going to have any other papers. I just wanted to mention we are adding some really cool things to this podcast. We have Adam Thayer, who is going to bring us book reviews from McCoy. Worshipful Brother Thayer is working really hard and coming up with segments. You know, he has a new microphone we got out to him, and the audio sounds great. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Thayer is just an incredible writer, a good presenter, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy what he has to offer. Pending a small meeting in the future here, WCY Media, or Whence Came You, the podcast, has a lot of potential. And this all started with just me. And we've decided that, I've always said that this podcast belongs to the fraternity. And there are some brothers who really enjoy this program. Thayer was one of them. And I have a couple of the guys also. And I think we're going to turn this really into a more of a group effort. So you're going to hear from time to time, like I said, you're always going to hear these book reviews by Thayer. He's going to probably be guest hosting a lot more. And also, you might get Adam Thayer segments in a show. But that's not all. You know, we've got another guy in the mix, and I'm hoping to speak to him soon. You know who you are when you're listening to the program. And what this will offer is another facet to the Whence Came You brand, as it were. Whence Came You meaning the Masonic renaissance of the age. We're coming back with Freemasonry, and there's so much really cool stuff that we're doing these days that couldn't be done before because of the process, the mindset. But the Masons that are coming in now, who came in just a few years ago, are now becoming to be in these positions of power and authority, and they're bringing back Masonry to its core tenets. Now, I'm not talking about traditional observance. I'm talking about bringing back and not only just bringing back, but also facilitating the many facets of Freemasonry that people want. So, whereas some lodges are going all esoteric and they're getting rid of this weird influx of just fellowship, that's not happening. You know, this Renaissance really is a 33-33-34 percentage split with fellowship, social aspects, and education. Three core tenets are all kind of coming together. And this new vision that we're all seeing is something that WCY is part of and embracing. We did this because I didn't get the education I wanted. And the only place I got it was Scott Blaskin's podcast, The Digital Freemason. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to continue to read these longer papers, I might as well record them and put them out. And people enjoyed it. And you guys have enjoyed it. And you guys have been so tremendous in your support. And we've talked about all these really interesting things that we want to do to continue to grow WCY. We talked about, you know, kind of bringing it together as a company or something, and we decided not to do that because this, again, belongs to the fraternity. So we wanted to give an option to these brothers who are interested, who have come to me and asked to be a part of this, that chance to do so. And we've got a good team, and we're not really accepting anybody right now, per se, with the exception of the two gentlemen that I have, one of which is Adam Thayer, and you know about the other one, is not confirmed yet, but we are looking forward to what that's going to bring. Again, WCY will grow as a really neat thing within the fraternity, and I hope you guys all will enjoy what the future has to offer. So with that, I want to say catch TMR this upcoming Tuesday. We're going to talk about Australian Freemasonry. As I'm recording this, the next day after I record this, I'll be talking with two brothers, Brother Jack and Brother Wayne from Australia, and that will be up in a couple weeks as well. So you're going to get two really neat aspects and viewpoints on Australian Masonry, which will be just fantastic. And a few weeks after that, I'm going to talk to a brother from Canada. We're going to talk about Canadian Masonry. And throughout this process, you know, we're going to finish these great pieces by Albert Pike. We've got Fratero. So we've really got a neat team and a grouping of things coming up. So again, our team is Worshipful Brother Adam Thayer, Fratero, myself, Brother Steve Harrison, and one other person that we're going to bring into the mix. Check out the Midnight Freemasons three times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for new content. Check out our Support the Show page and click through our links to onnit.com. Pick yourself up some Alpha Brain or any other of their awesome products. Use the coupon code WCY to save 10%. And if you want to help out, you want a pin or something like that, head on over to the limited edition shop. And for $10 plus a couple dollars for shipping, we'll send you a pin anywhere in the world. I hope you guys enjoyed the program. And until next week, stay on the level. For Wentz Kamey and Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.